Hey guys, today's episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast is presented by Cedarville University. We love having them as partners with us here at Sports Spectrum. They are one of the leading Christian universities in the country. They're well known for their excellent academic programs that equip graduates for lifelong ministry and service, including their new Master of Athletic Training degree. Cedarville's athletic training program is accredited by the Commission on Accreditation of Athletic Training Education. Basically, that means it's a big deal and it's done properly. Students are taught by outstanding professors who are experienced in the athletic training profession, including program director Mike Weller, who has worked with the Cincinnati Bengals and the NFL. And what sets Cedarville's MAT program apart is the opportunity for students to earn a bachelor's degree in sports medicine, a Bible minor, and the Master of Athletic Training in just 5 years. And it's all from a biblical worldview. And they also offer a two-year standalone master's program for students who've already completed a bachelor's degree elsewhere. Now, I got to tell you, recently I was on Cedarville's campus, and I can attest how wonderful their facilities are. They have amazing academic programs. Their faculty is second to none. In fact, the MAT is hosted and housed in newly renovated spaces with the latest technology. So I want to encourage you to visit cedarville.edu/athletic training to learn more about this innovative Master of Athletic Training program. That's cedarville.edu/athletic training to learn more about the new Master of Athletic Training program at Cedarville University. Check it out today.
Welcome to the Sports Spectrum Podcast, the intersection of sports and faith. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
And hi, everybody. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. So glad you're joining us here on the program today. Our website, sportsspectrum.com, that is always the best place to go to stay in touch with all that we have going on here at Sports Spectrum. Talking about devotionals and podcasts and articles, videos, testimonials, all available, all for free at sportsspectrum.com. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. That's my email. I would love to hear from you, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Today on the show, we are going to bring to you a conversation we had a couple weeks ago with DeMario Davis. DeMario is the New Orleans Saints linebacker, and in the past few years, he has really developed into one of the best defensive players in the NFL. In 2019, he was a first-team All-Pro. In 2020, he was a second-team All-Pro. In 2021, he was also a second-team All-Pro. And DeMario just turned 33 years old, so you can do the math there. He was an All-Pro for the first time in his career at the age of 30. This is a guy who came into the league in 2012 as a third-round selection. He's basically played every game of his entire career, except for one game that took place in 2021. We're going to ask him about that one game that he missed and had his streak end, if you will. He's got a new head coach in Dennis Allen with the New Orleans Saints. He was the 2021 Bart Starr Award winner and a member of the NFL's top 100 players both in 2020 and 2021. I would imagine he'll be on that list again this year in 2022. It was a great conversation. We've had DeMario on before. He is a man who loves Jesus, who loves to help people, who loves to serve, and man, is he intense on that football field. This is a fun conversation, catching up with our friend DeMario Davis from the New Orleans Saints right now on Sports Spectrum. DeMario Davis, three-time All-Pro. How's that feel? Welcome back to Sports Spectrum, buddy.
What's going on, Jay?
How you doing?
Blessed, man. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
When we last had you, you were a first-team All-Pro, first time, and now it's 3 years later. You're a three-time All-Pro, 2 years as second team, 1 year as first team. You just finished year 10 in the NFL. I feel like you've gotten better later in your career.
Where most guys begin to wear down, especially at the position that you play, you've continued to play great. And just what's the secret of your success, my friend?
Well, it's twofold. When you ask, how I feel,
yeah,
I feel the same way I always felt, which is a little conflicting because, I got a lot better, in the last 3-4 years of my career, really 5, but the notoriety has increased, the platform has increased. And so I think in a lot of ways I kind of got comfortable in the way that, my lifestyle was and who I was as a player at year 5 in regards to how I view myself and my identity inside the game, and recognition inside the game. And so now it's kind of confusing, to be hearing like, man, you're 10, 3-time All-Pro, and all the recognition that kind of comes with that is, I kind of walk outside sometimes and then people run up like, oh, that's Mario Davis, yada, yada, yada. Or, people having conversations. Like I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, I'm pretty sure you're going to be in the Saints Hall of Fame. And, when you hear stuff like that, for me, it's humbling, but it's kind of like a complex because, in the first 5 years of my career, I feel like, I was just like a decent to above average player, and then all of a sudden now I'm being one of the top players in the game.
Yeah.
And so the transition for me is I know the work that went into it, but at the same time, I had already kind of found my identity inside the game. Like, about year 5, you kind of know what kind of player you're going to be in the game. And so I kind of settled into that, but my career was opposite of that. And so that it's like a complex that goes on in that. But the work that went into it, I'm actually working on a book right now that is called The Hybrid Way, and that's kind of the nickname I have for myself as a player. Kobe had Mamba.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan had Air Jordan, kind of like the hybrid is my persona on the field.
Okay.
But The Hybrid Way kind of details, how I made that jump. What went into it? What did I realize at year 5 about my career that, I wasn't getting the results that I wanted.
Yeah.
I was having an above average career, but I didn't come into the game to be average. I came in to be the best. And what did I have to identify in my game? What did I have to realize that needed to change? And then how did I make those changes and adjustments? And I think, for the past 5 years, especially the last 3 years, that, recognition of being All-Pro in consecutive years is a credit to all the work that went into that process. And I'd be talking all day if I talked about all that went into it.
I can only imagine from the position that you play too. And then signing the big deal, right, with New Orleans. Mm-hmm. That seems, because you had the great year before that catapulted into that contract. Mm-hmm. But that seems where a shift took place with you. You talk about this identity issue and this shift. Is there a specific moment, and maybe it was when you came to New Orleans, but is there a moment for you where you can pinpoint and look back and say the shift started to take place at this point?
Well, certainly it was a evolution type process, but the moment that it became clear that something needed to change was actually in 2016, the year before New York, where I had the big year. And
you were with Cleveland.
I was with Cleveland. I've talked about this in several, interviews with Sports Spectrum. It's detailed in my book, Unsuccessful Champion. And so it was a moment where I had to humble myself. I went in and had a conversation with a coach. At that time, I was a starting linebacker, then my coach wanted another player came and he wanted to rotate my snaps, and I didn't like that, and I was going to go address him, but something in there, just kind of, I think it was kind of God leading me, like, just go and ask him a question. And I went and asked him, like, how can I get better? And he proceeded to bring up some clips showing me plays that I was missing in the game, and he said, I think if you can fix this, it's going to make a big difference in your game. And that, the play that he showed me, the plays that he showed me, was a specific attribute of my game that was lacking. And I knew it was something that I could go and work on. And going to work on that specific thing kind of led into a snowball effect, because I'm like, well, if my coach saw this blind spot in my game, and I didn't see it, obviously, and he pointed out to me, how many more blind spots do I have in my game? And so I started to watch my myself a lot more in a much more critical way. And I started to identify things that needed to change. And I was willing to make those changes and adjustments. And so not only did I change the way I trained, I changed the way I slept. I changed the way I ate. I changed.
Give one example when you say you changed the way. Like, were you just eating whatever you want and then you were more strict with your diet? When you say that, because that's a wide range of changing the ways. What was it that you changed?
Yeah, so I'm a country boy. So, I mean, I've eaten any and everything under the sun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really took the way I ate for granted just because naturally having good genes and eating whatever I want, I exercise so much. So a lot of times, you know, with high metabolism, I was just burning through it. But I began to notice that off season after the 2016 season, I was in Manhattan Beach and I was training with one of the Gracie brothers in Manhattan Beach. And I noticed how much he's a jiu-jitsu wrestling coach and a jiu-jitsu instructor. And when we were training, I just noticed how much more conditioned he was. And, you know, he was almost twice my age. And, you know, here I am at the, you know, a young player in the game, a professional athlete. And why am I less conditioned than this guy who's, you know, twice my senior? And I started to ask some questions about what it was, and he told me it had a lot to do with how he ate. And so one of the biggest changes that I made was spacing my meals out every day and not snacking in between. So a breakfast, wait 4.5 hours, a lunch, wait 4.5 hours, a dinner. Hmm. Like, that little change makes a monumental amount of a difference. Hmm. And what I was able to see is this picture of working smarter versus harder. And if I can make this change in my diet and I feel this much better this quickly, what are the other areas where I can make a small adjustment that has an incredible difference?
Yeah, that's a great example of just making one small change. I'm wondering, for you, when you have the success, and you're shooting for that as a football player, you want to be the best player you can be, you want to be great, not just good, like you said. As those accolades started to come, and you think about 3 times being now named to the All-Pro team, you know, influence growing, opportunities, people patting you on the back, people knowing who you are, like you said, did you have any of those moments during those times where you had to kind of have a heart check from God to remind you, like kick you in the butt a little bit and say, don't forget, it's not about you, DeMario, it's about me? Were there moments with that, or were you pretty firm and solid in the fact that you knew where these blessings were coming from?
No, I mean, when you look at my story, I can't forget.
Right.
The way that God designed the story in my life, I cannot forget what happened. You know, when I go back to Cleveland, so in Cleveland, and this is a detail that I would encourage everybody, I'm not trying to plug my book.
You can plug away, my friend.
I do want
people
to get the book. It is a great book.
Yeah.
Because of the story that God has done through my life. And what happened in Cleveland was my body broke down on me. Like, I was exhausted mentally, physically. I broke down. And I was ready to retire at the end of the season. And I remember going into my closet because I had this passion in my heart. I'm knowing God isn't finished me in the game, but I can't go anymore. Like, I don't want to go to practice. I don't want to play. Not to mention that our team was bad, but, you know, I didn't have it in me. And so I'm like, God, okay, I surrender. I waved the white flag. Those are the words that I'm praying him. I waved the white flag. I surrender. If you want me to go forward, you have to rejuvenate my mind. You have to rejuvenate my body. You know, this is 5-6 years ago. Like, it feels like an age ago, but the realness of it feels like yesterday. Like, I waved the white flag. I surrender. I'm done. And if you want me to go, and it was like I heard God in that instant say, thank you for getting out of my way. The one thing I don't want you to do is forget that you waved the white flag.
Yeah.
So anything that happens, I remember it was like, if I was to win a Super Bowl, if I was to become an All-Pro, if I was to go to the Hall of Fame, if I was to do anything inside this game, I couldn't take credit for any of it. Like, God was like, anything that happens out to this point, it's me. It's not you. And so for that, you know, not being able to forget that, you know, I waved the white flag. And at that point, those were such lofty expectations, right? But then 2 years later, I'm with New Orleans and, you know, playing the Rams one game away from the Super Bowl, right?
That's how quick.
It's good I can tell that story because most people remember that game. You know, most games people forget. They're not going to forget that one.
No.
And then, you know, being an All-Pro and having consecutively good years. So God did, you know, what he said he would and could do. At that time, it felt extreme, like having those ideas. But also, there's the verse in the Bible where Paul talks about having a thorn in his side and three times praying to God that he would remove it, and he didn't remove it. And they never talk exactly about what that thorn is. Nobody knows and really why it was there. But in a lot of scholars believe it was there as like a humbling device for Paul and a reminder of his journey with God and to remind him who God is. And so I have a specific thorn in the side. It's kind of like a heel pain that it never bothers me in the game. It never bothers me when I train. But sometimes I'm walking around, my heel just starts hurting. And, I've treated it for 3 years. 4 years treated it. It's kind of like, feels like plantar fasciitis. I have plantar fasciitis on my other foot and it healed. But now I have kind of like this constant little heel pain. But it never bothers me. And I've been, so in all three All Pro years,
you had that pain.
It's been there.
Wow.
But I've never felt it in the game.
Hmm.
I've never felt it in practice. But it's just like a subtle reminder. And so the only thing I can compare it to is like that God has it there as a subtle reminder to me of like this is the work that he's doing and not me. So it's for me to never feel like it's coming from my body, for me to ever feel like it's coming from my mind or my intellect or anything except the spirit that he's placed inside me. Man, I'm cool with it. Like, yeah. I work on it to try to, you know, treat it, but it does nothing. But so I'm cool with it. I've learned to live with it.
Hey, guys, taking a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to remind you about our friends at Cedarville University. I love this place, one of the leading Christian universities in the country, and they have this wonderful, brand new Master of Athletic Training program that you need to go check out. What sets Cedarville's Master of Athletic Training program apart is the opportunity for students to earn a bachelor's degree in sports medicine and a Master of Athletic Training in just 5 years. And maybe you've already got your bachelor's degree program. Hey, no problem. You'll only need 2 years to complete the MAT program. Cedarville University is the real deal. I love what they're all about. I've been on the campus and I can attest that it has great facilities, wonderful academic programs. Their faculty is second to none. And that includes in that faculty, program director Mike Weller, who has worked for the Cincinnati Bengals and in the NFL. So let me encourage you to visit cedarville.edu/athletic-training to learn more about Cedarville's Master of Athletic Training program. Check out the new program again at this website, cedarville.edu/athletic-training. I am confident when you check it out, you will be thoroughly impressed. Make sure you go check it out today. Let's get back to our conversation with DeMario Davis from the New Orleans Saints right here on Sports Spectrum. You have a new coach.
Yeah.
And your longtime coach, Sean Payton, is now not with the Saints, but your D coordinator, Dennis Allen, the guy that you've been with for a few years, is now your head coach. Tell me about, maybe from your perspective, does leadership, does it change a little bit? Or is it the fact that Dennis has been there in that system in your eyes, and it's still early, you haven't even been through an OTA or anything like that yet, but does that change in your eyes, or does it just kind of like, all right, we pick up the pieces and we have a new coach and let's go?
Well, I think there's continuity that's there for sure. We were able to retain a coach that's been in the system. When you look at the team that Sean's stepping away from, you know, multiple years back to back. This first year we didn't go to the playoffs.
Yeah,
that I've been there. many years of being a contender rolling into the season. An incredible roster, so many all-pro players, so many Pro Bowl players on that roster the past 5 years. A ton of success. And then Sean's retiring. So you don't have a coach who's coming in, like in most situations, because another coach has been fired. Well, you probably need to change the culture. You need to make a bunch of changes. It's a really good team. Mm. So keeping continuity is very important, and they were able to do that with Dennis, for sure. And DA is a great coach, defensive mind, and he's going to continue to call the defense, which is a great thing. When you look at him stepping into that role as a head coach, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. He has ways that he wants to do things, and I think only time will tell what that'll look like. I think it's as good a decision that the Saints could have made, and I'm happy for him, and hope he does great in that role.
When you think about this past season, it was not an easy season. In fact, we were looking – I looked at your stats, and I was like, wow, 16 games played, 16 games started, and it basically took 16 through your whole career. So I'm like, he didn't miss a game, did he? And then John over here, my colleague, reminded me there were 17 games mm-hmm. in 2021, and you had 16 starts, 16 games, and it made me think, did he miss a game? Did you miss mm-hmm. a game?
Yeah.
That's the first game you missed in your career?
Yeah, first game missed in career.
What was that?
COVID.
It was a COVID game.
Yeah, oh. COVID game. So we had 23 guys out. And so this is
– That must have been so hard.
It wasn't. It wasn't hard. It wasn't. Wow. And that's surprising. And you talk about the power and the grace of God. So at the time, I had the longest streak, I think, of an active player. Yeah. I had the longest streak. Cam Jordan and I were the two longest streaks, and he went down maybe two games before me, and then that made me the longest. He had me about a good 10 games or so. And then when he went down, I had the longest streak, and I only got to hold on to it for a couple weeks. But anyways, the story of what went on that week is what's much more incredible. And it was just one of those things where you have one of these closet conversations and closet moments with God that is so powerful. And had I not been on this podcast, I might not even told anybody. Nobody's ever asked about it. Hmm. But we're going through it. The season was incredibly challenging. And I remember at one point in the season kind of asking God, you know, why are we going through this? You know, what is it that you're doing? I haven't been in a struggle like this during the season since I was in New York and Cleveland. And it kind of felt familiar to those times, which was really scary, you know, being on a good team or what you thought was going to be a good team.
Sure.
And feeling like you're on one of those Jets, Browns team. That's tough. And I remember asking God, you know, why am I going through this again? Because I feel like, you know, at least in my relationship with God, if I feel like I'm going through the same thing, it's something I didn't learn the first time. So was there something I didn't learn in my year in Cleveland, or something I didn't learn in my year in New York? Why am I going through this? And God just started to reveal to me that, you know, the serenity prayer.
Yeah.
You know, God grant me the courage to control the things I can control, the peace to accept the things I can't control, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, addicts use that a lot, I think, in their rehab and recovery.
Yeah. And, you know, what he showed me was, you know, you kind of have two of the three. You have the courage to change the things that you can control, and you have the wisdom to know the difference, but you don't have peace when things aren't in your control. Mm. And we need to work on that. And I was like, wow. You know, here's I am in a situation that's outside my control, and I need to have peace and faith in you. And I really can't. You know, there's nothing I can do. Like, you know, I'm playing as best I can play. I feel like I'm leading defense as best I can, but it's injuries going on. There's front office decisions, things that are outside my control that I can do nothing about. When I felt like we were going to have a great season. And I was like, okay, I can feel the anxiety that's there. So I said, okay, well, God, this is something that's not, thank you for revealing it to me, but this isn't something I can change my own. I need you to come in my heart and change it. And so about 6 weeks from then is when the COVID thing happened. And I go in, we have a situation where we're all in the building. It was the week that they stopped making us do the testing every day. Mm. Oh, that we were having to do it every Monday, once every Monday. And it was the week that they said, well, you don't have to do it. And then somebody tested or whatever. I just remember my coach coming in and he was like, everybody needs to get out of the building. They didn't go into detail. A couple guys on my team got COVID. Everybody get out of the building. Okay. Well, the next day we did meetings all virtual, and the next day was all virtual. And then they wanted us to all come in for practice. And whatever day I came in off of practice, I was like, well, I'm going to go and get a test. You know, I feel pretty good. I'm going to get a test. And when I went and got my test, the trainer came, called my phone. And he was like, where are you? I need you to come out of the building. He's like, yeah, you got COVID. We're going to go, you're going to go to your house. They're going to come test you by your car before you go home. And if, you know, you're negative, I don't think you're going to be negative, but, you'll be out. And it was probably, you know, a good 4 days, 5 days before the game. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I was like, darn, I feel real calm about this. It was kind of unsettling how calm I was about it. And so I called my wife. You know, we came up with a game plan. You know, we kind of have multiple floors in our house. And so I kind of picked out one of the rooms in the house, you know, closed her and the kids out. It was just me. And my wife was incredible during that time. She was bringing me 3 meals a day, dropping it off at the door.
You know, Tamala is no joke. She's a great woman.
And so, in that time, I'm really like, okay, God, now I have a minimum of, you know, I think it was 10 days at that time. It was 10 days. And the CDC actually changed during that time where it went to 5.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I got this time with you, God. You know, I feel good. I don't feel sick. You know, thank you. But I'm just going to go through this process and this time with you. But why did you pull me to the side? Like, I want to learn the lesson. I went in like, God, I want to learn the lesson that you have for me of why you slowed me down. Am I not slowing down enough? Is it something I need to hear from you? Is there something, whatever it is, and nothing's coming. I'm just, every day, I'm up there, like, I'm watching things about my foundation has a travel team, so I'm watching their tryouts. So I'm watching that. I'm dabbling in, like, cryptocurrency and in the metaverse and stuff. And so I'm doing all that. And then, you know, I'm spending a little time in my word and just, you know, just kind of moving around. Maybe God's going to reveal something to me. Day 3, day 4, nothing's coming. Well, day 5, I'm there and I'm talking to one of my psychologist friends. I believe in mental wellness. And so I talked to quite a few of them. And I'm telling her, you know, what is weird to me is how much peace I have during this process. And when I say the word peace, it was almost like God just gave me the revelation in that moment. He was like, I want you to go back 7 weeks and remember when something wasn't in your control, how little peace you have. And here you are in this moment, what it is all the way outside your control. And look how much peace you have. And you pray for me to do a work in your heart. Now look at your heart. You didn't even realize how much peace you had. And then the magnitude of everything, like, you know, I played my entire career and never missed a game, and I'm missing a game when I'm healthy because of a COVID policy. And literally the game is coming and I can't do anything to help my teammates, and knowing I'm the leader and knowing I lead the champ for the huddle and all these things. And it's like, darn, this is crazy outside my control, and I have peace, and this is God showing me the work that he is able to do inside your heart.
Wow.
And at that point, I was really good. And it was just a moment with God. We're like, wow, God, you did a work in my heart that required no work on my part except just faith and obedience. And, I mean, I trusted it. Like, when I said the prayer, it's going to happen. And I just forgot about it. I forgot about it until that moment that I had prayed that. And that was just it was a true testament of the work that God, like Philippians 1:6, the work I begin in you, I will carry on to completion, that God is constantly cultivating inside our heart, like this worker inside our heart that's constantly cleaning up and changing every room. And that he was concerned in the middle of the season and all the adversity that was going on, not with my happiness of the success of the season or not with my accolade of having the most career, but changing that little spot in my heart. And he was going to use that moment to do it and to reveal to me what he had did. And so it was really this amazing thing. And so when people ask me about, you know, missing the only game that I missed in my career, I'm like, No, I had this magical moment with God, and it was an enjoyable experience.
That's an amazing story, and to be so keenly aware, you know, even us sitting in a meeting yesterday and hearing about, you know, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, and it's like, we don't usually count it all joy or even seek the joy in the trials. We're often just kind of dealing with the pain or the trial that we're going through, and you were seeking peace. You were seeking joy. You were seeking the lesson that you were looking for God to speak to you and to show you in the midst of what a lot of people might be truly soul-crushing. When you work so hard to try and maintain a streak, I mean, I think about Brett Favre, right? And the ultimate streak of starting all those games in a row. Eli Manning had all those games in a row, and you have all these games, and it's taken away because of COVID, and you feel completely fine, and yet you have this immense peace in the midst of that. It's a pretty powerful thing to think about. What changed for you after that? Did anything change for the rest of the season in the mind of how you went about your job, or I mean, was this just a culmination of the things that you had talked about over the past 4 or 5 years in this evolution and in your walk with Christ?
Things most certainly changed, because now I knew, even though when we were going through our struggles during the year, we kind of went into like a 5-game skid. And that was when I kind of asked God those questions. The thing that you're always wondering is, even though you know it, you need to feel it. It's like, God, are you near? God, are you here? Do you see what's going on? Do you care about what's going on? That's really what we feel when we're afraid and we're doubting, like, and we're praying, like, God, do you hear me? Do you see me? Like, God, you have this going on. And the fact that I had asked God, I needed him to show up. Like, now I walked out of that situation knowing that God was there, that he saw and he cared about it. And not only did he care about the situation, he cared about it to the smallest detail of something that feels so small, about not having peace when, you know, you're anxious and something's not in your control. Like, this is why you get anxious. You know, when it feels like it's not in your control, you trust me, but you get anxious. And he cares about that. Like, not even something big as in you get anxious and you go and do this, just that anxiety. I don't want it there. And the fact that he was concerned about that minute detail got me excited. Got me excited. And returned to the team, we had just came off actually that COVID game that we lost to Miami. We had 23 guys that we had just
23 guys.
We had just played the Buccaneers the week before and shut, you know, Tom Brady in the books.
That was the Sunday night game.
At home, the first time, I think, in his career that had happened.
Yeah.
And so you go to this incredible high, to this incredible low as a team, and then we came back. And when it came back, it was like the sun had came out. Here we were with this adverse season that we had gone through, and now we have an opportunity to make a playoff push. I mean, we had been displaced by the hurricane. Mm-hmm. We had lost our starting quarterback. We had had a game where our head coach wasn't coaching the game. Here I am, you know, had missed my first game in the career. So you talk about this 5-game skid after being 5-2 when, you know, everybody kind of counted us out. And so you imagine like high, low, high, low, high, low, just all throughout the season, this roller coaster of a ride. And after that, you come back and we're like, we got 2 games left in the season, guys, and we can make the playoffs. What? After all that we've been through,
still got a shot.
We got a shot to make the playoff. And you just seen that emotion of the team. It was through the roof. Mm. And our last two games of the season, we probably played as great as we had played all season. And this is not to mention that two of your better teams this year, Green Bay, we dominated them, you know. We dominated the Bucs twice. And here we are at the last 2 games after going through that type of roller coaster and not having all your players. I mean, we played the entire season without our number one receiver.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best receivers in football. And we played about 3 or 4 games without our running back, who's one of the best running backs in football. And we played about 4 games without our right tackle and left tackle, you know, and who are all Pro Bowl players. And so when you think about the roller coaster that we went through, and here we are in the last 2 games, and we still got a shot, and the way that we played with the resiliency that we play, I think we play with, not to mention, like, you know, 5 or 6 different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And that journey, it just was like, wow. And so even the shot at making the playoffs, and I'm as competitive as they come. You know,
yeah, you're not a moral victory guy.
Yeah, I don't live. I'm not looking for no moral victory. You know, you win it all or you don't win it all. But what I was able to see God do in that moment, it wasn't a victory in the worldly sense of a victory. It was, man, this incredible amount of love from God that he can show up in the most adverse situation and be like, even if everyone doesn't see that I'm here, you know that I'm here without a shadow of a doubt. And that's what you want for your journey.
I got about two questions left for you, and I want them both to involve the fact that you're just as active off the field as you are on the field. Yes. There's a lot that's happened in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. We last had you on, we were in San Diego at a conference. It was 3 weeks before the pandemic hit. And so much changed since that time. But you think about the pandemic, you think about racial unrest, you think about the political divide, you think about, heck, football being played without fans, right, for a year. When you look at the last 2 years, but thinking about off the field, what emotions come to mind? What comes to mind when you think about, I mean, the fact that it's just been 2 years and so much has changed, mm-hmm. but off the field, you're a guy, like I said, who doesn't sit on the sidelines. You get in the game, mm-hmm. both literally and figuratively in the game to help mm-hmm. others. Think about the last 2 years and reflect.
Well, a word isn't the same in a lot of ways. And, so for me, the off season is when my season begins for real, you know, because in the season I can't go anywhere. I can't travel. I have to put so many hours into the game where that's going on during the season. In the off season, I get a chance to just train, spend time with my family, and then I can go and do whatever my heart, you know, leads me to do. Mm. And, man, there's been a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that has happened in our world in the last 2 years. And
a lot.
What I see God has me here for is a hope giver. You know, I want to give people hope because that's what motivates you to get out of bed every day. That's what motivates you to live. That's what motivates you to be the best person is hope. If you believe that when you put the energy and effort in that it's going to yield you a certain result, you're going to do it. And in any way that I can do that, and so the opposite of that is hopelessness. And so anytime there's an injustice or oppression happening, you know, it's leading to people hopelessness. I'm going to be there on the front lines trying to help with that. And so any and every space, I think that's why people see me in so many different spaces, is literally I just want to give hope and love to people, right? Yeah. I'm genuinely concerned about the well-being of others. You know, if you have a bad situation and there's something I feel like I can do to help it, I'm going to do that. If you have a good situation but you need a little help and assistance trying to make the most of that situation, I'm going to do with that. And so at that point, you know, I feel like love knows no bounds. You know, it's like nothing that I'm not willing or ready to do in a situation where it leads to the well-being of others.
And that faith is what fuels all this, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's kingdom oriented, right? That's why I said this, what I feel like God has me here to do. I'm on assignment every day. As believers, we have two responsibilities: to know God and to make God known. And how do you go about doing it? And, you know, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to know God for myself, him in a personal relationship. And that's something that, you know, when I'm sharing the gospel or sharing about God with people, it's one thing if you were to read an entire bio on an individual. I'm a huge LeBron James fan. I've never met LeBron personally, but I'm a huge fan.
Never met him, huh? No. In all the circles.
No, and it's funny. We're in Cleveland the same time. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I can tell you all about LeBron's career, his stats, his wife, his children.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you all about him, but I've never met him.
Right.
And so I can talk about him, but I can't speak of him. I can't pretend to know him. I can't make someone believe that I know him. I know about him.
Right.
And that's what happens with God a lot of times. People read, they've read the word, they've participated in a lot of small groups, they've watched a lot of podcasts, or they've listened to a lot of sermons, and they can tell you about God, but they have no experiences with God. And that's a difference.
Yes.
That's a difference. And when I say wake up to know God, it's about being able to experience Him. What if no one else tells you about God? You know, if you don't, you can't rely on something that you've heard about Him. You have to rely on experiences that you've had with Him. Mm. And that's a real thing. And then making God known, you know, that's I want to be a light for the kingdom. I want to lead people to the glory land, and I want to lead you to the person who's changed my life. And how do you do that? It's the way that you live.
Yes.
The greatest sermon that you'll ever preach is with your life, you know? And so wake up and preach your greatest sermon every day, and if necessary, use words. Mm. It's the way that you live. It's the way that you love people. It's the way, you know, somebody that's on the street corner that's hungry, you know, you can go up and try to share the gospel with them, but if you haven't given them food, they're probably not going to hear nothing that you said.
No, I'm going
to
listen.
You know, and so it's the way that you love people, being willing to give the shirt off your back just to see people's well-being in a world that doesn't traditionally do that. Our world is extremely selfish. We are all naturally selfish. And so when you choose selfless, it's like throwing a high color on a really dark canvas. Hmm. It's going to stand out.
Yeah.
And, so I think those two aspects, how that looks, is going to look different every day.
Devoted Dreamers Foundation. Mm-hmm. That's the work you're doing with them. You're also a member of the Players Coalition Task Force. Obviously, just a great ambassador for the Lord, doing great work in so many different places. We could go on and on. We'll find time to do more. But thanks for joining us, man. Really appreciate this time, and just so happy for all the success. I remember when we first met in 2015 or 2016, and you were, I think, in Cleveland in 2016, and we were sharing some stories then, and we've been talking for a long time here, and we just appreciate you being willing to come on and share your story here in Sports Spectrum.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Always fun.
And many thanks to Demario Davis from the Saints for being here on Sports Spectrum. We got to cover a lot there in that conversation. How about the story of him missing his first game in 2021 because of COVID? I mean, geez, COVID wreaking havoc. But Demario was a second team All-Pro this year, second team All-Pro last year, first team All-Pro the year before. All of that has taken place after the age of 30. So it's fascinating to me to hear how he has just gotten better and better as a football player, and certainly his relationship with God and all that the Lord is teaching him and showing him, and the platform that God is providing for him. It's been fun to watch these last few years with Demario Davis. So we appreciate him for being here on the show today. Keep an eye out in the fall. This is just a little sneak preview. I really don't have more that I can say other than he will be prominently featured in the fall edition of Sports Spectrum Magazine, our football preview that's going to be coming out in probably 4 or 5 months or so. But just keep an eye out. It's going to be a special one with Demario Davis for the Sports Spectrum Magazine. So thanks to Demario. Thanks to you as well for tuning in. We do love you guys. We appreciate you. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the conversations that we have in keeping Christ in the sports conversation here on Sports Spectrum. Do us a favor and click that subscribe and that follow button so that you never miss any episodes that we release, and you can subscribe to our Sports Spectrum podcast. Of course, it's free, and that's the wonderful thing about podcasts, so we appreciate you doing that. And then tell someone about Sports Spectrum and join us next time for another episode. We love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and please do stay safe.